Now, they were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and his disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. So, again, Jesus took them aside, took the 12 disciples aside, and told them what was going to happen to them. "We are going to Jerusalem," he said, "where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. And they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. But 3 days later, I will rise." They came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Now, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they cried to the blind man, "Rejoice, on your feet, he is calling you." Throwing his garment aside, he ran to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" said Jesus. The blind man, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. As they came, approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Now Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of him, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie him and bring him to me." Now, if anyone asks, "What are you doing untying that colt?" tell them, "The teacher has need of it and will return it here shortly." So they went and found a colt outside, tied at the doorway. As they were untying the colt, some people standing there said, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them, and they let him go. Now, when they had brought the colt to Jesus and placed their colts on it, he sat on it. Many people laid their coats along the path, and others laid branches that they had cut in the fields. And those who went before and those who came after shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" And Jesus entered Jerusalem. And he went to the temple. But because it was late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now it was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming as to how they might arrest Jesus and kill him. Oh, but not during the feast, they said, for the people, they might riot. As Jesus was in Bethany, reclining in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came carrying a very expensive alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some who were present said indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? Well, it could have been sold for a year's wages. Oh, and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, Jesus said. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing. She has poured the poor you will have with you always, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has poured perfume on my body ahead of time to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now, Judas, one of the 12, to the chief priests to betray Jesus. They were delighted to hear this. They were delighted. And they promised to give him money. So Judas watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Now it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb. So Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you eat the Passover? He sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and as you enter it, you will find a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him and say to the owner of the house that he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you to a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations there. So they left, went into the city, and found everything just as Jesus had said. And so they prepared the Passover. Now, when evening came, he arrived with the 12. While they were reclining, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They became deeply saddened, and one by one they said, surely not I. Surely not I. It is one of the 12, he said, one who dips his bread in the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it has been written of him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for him if he had never been born. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take it. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them. And they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant that is poured out for many. I tell you the truth. I will not again drink from the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew in the kingdom of heaven. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You will all fall away, he said. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Peter, Jesus replied. Today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But he declared indignantly, even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you. And all the rest said the same thing. They came to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus told his disciples, stay here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him and began to become deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, this hour would pass from him. Abba, Father, everything is possible with you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. When he returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Simon, He said to Peter, "Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once again, he went and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them again sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning again, he said to them, "Are you still resting and sleeping? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise! Let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Just as Jesus was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The man I kiss is the one. Arrest him and take him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, he said, "Rabbi!" and kissed him. The men arrested Jesus and put him under guard. One of the men standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion here that you have come with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you in the temple courts teaching, and you didn't arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. Now, a young man wearing nothing more than a linen garment who had been following Jesus, when they arrested him, he ran naked, leaving his garment. They took Jesus to the high priests and the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders, and the whole Sanhedrin came together. Now, Peter followed from a distance right into the court of the high priest, down with the guards, and warmed himself at the fire. Now, the chief priest and the Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they couldn't find any. Many brought false accusations against him, but their statements didn't agree. Then some men got up and gave this false testimony. "We heard him say that he would destroy this man-made temple and in 3 days build another not made by hand." But even then, their testimonies did not agree. Then the high priest stood up and said, He asked Jesus, are you not going to give an answer? What is all of this testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and did not answer. Again, the chief priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Yes, replied Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right side of the Blessed One, the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes and said, why do we need any more testimony? You have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? What do you think? And they all condemned him as worthy of death. They began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, prophesy. The soldiers took him out. The guard took him out and beat him. Well, Simon was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Simon warming his hands at the fire, she looked carefully at him. You were with the Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't even know or understand what you are saying and talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw her there, she said to those standing around, This fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. A little while later, those who were standing around said, well, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call curses down on himself and swore to them, I don't even know the man you are talking about. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered what the words Jesus had said to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will betray me, disown me three times. And Peter broke down and wept. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, elders, teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin came to a decision. They bound Jesus, let him out, and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asked. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. Then the chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, are you not going to reply? What are all these things that they are accusing you of? But Jesus remained silent. And Pilate was amazed It was the practice at the priests, east, to release a prisoner whom the people wanted. Now, a man named Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder during the uprising. Now, the people came to Pilate and asked him to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Pilate asked, for he knew. He knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to release Barabbas instead. Well, what then shall I do with the King of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him! Well, what crime has he committed? Pilate asked. But they shouted all the more, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate, wanting to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them. Then he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away into the palace. That is the praetorium. And they called together the whole group of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. Then they began to cry out, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again they beat him with a rod on his head and spit on him. Falling to their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took his robe off, put on his own clothes, and led him out to be crucified. Now, a certain man of Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing through on his way in from the countryside, and they forced him to carry the cross. They took him to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. They divided his clothes and cast lots to see what each would get. It was about the third hour when they crucified him. The notice of the charges against him read, King of the Jews. They also crucified two robbers with him, one on his left, one on his right. And those who passed by hurled insults at him. You who would destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, come down now and save yourself. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him within themselves. He could save others. He can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now so that we might see and believe. And those who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness covered the entire land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some who were listening near said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing in front of Jesus heard his and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Now, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, they had followed Jesus and taken care of his needs. The women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Now, it was preparation day. That is, the day before Sabbath. And so as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a very prominent member of the council who himself was looking for the kingdom, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was amazed to hear that Jesus was already dead. Summoning his centurion, he asked if it was so. When he learned that Jesus was already dead, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph went and bought linen clothes, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a stone tomb. He rolled a stone in front of the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where they had laid him. Now, the day after this, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went and bought spices so that they might anoint Jesus' body. Very early, on the first day of the week, they were on their way to the tomb. And they were asking each other, "Who are we going to get to roll away the stone?" But when they got there and looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white sitting on the right-hand side, and they were alarmed. Now, Brother Brent, what possibly could get these ladies to leave their state of alarm? What possibly could this young man say after all that had happened?
recognize the book of Mark? Kind of a bad place to stop. Rough place to stop the story, amen? Thinking about Veterans Day, just thinking about what took place down the road, some personal things that are going on in my life. I want to give you a reminder and show you some things here that might help you, encourage you. Let me take you back into a history lesson for just a moment. December the 7th of 1941. Japanese attacked Honolulu. They sank four battleships, crippled four more, sank three cruisers that day, three destroyers, an anti-aircraft ship, and a mine layer. 188 aircraft were destroyed, killed 2,402 men, wounded 1,282, and all of that cost them 29 aircraft, five midget submarines, and 65 servicemen. A devastating loss for America. On September the 2nd of 1945, Japan made a full and unconditional surrender to Allied forces aboard the USS Missouri, with Old Glory flying over its deck. You can lose a battle, still win the war. 1987, Minnesota Twins finished the regular baseball season with a record of 85-77. They lost 77 games. That's a lot of innings that they lost. That's a lot of balls that they missed, errors that they made, pitches into the dirt, unsuccessful slides, and broken bats. They barely won more than half of their games, but they won the World Series. You can lose a lot of battles and still win the war. Samson, he was a vain guy. Too vain to settle for the good Christian gal that his mom and daddy wanted him to have. Wouldn't listen to the counsel of his parents. Threw a temper tantrum when somebody outsmarted him. Too full of himself to depend on God. Trusted people that he should have never trusted. But right there at the end of his life, when he was chained and he was blinded, humiliated by the enemy, he humbled himself before the mighty hand of God, and God's strength was poured out on him. You can lose a lot of battles and still win the war. Jesus Christ had been told to us here this morning, had been despised, he had been cursed at, shunned, lied about, persecuted, beaten, mocked, abused, misunderstood, judged, condemned, nailed to a wooden cross. The day that Joseph of Arimathea took him down from that cross and placed his dead and lifeless body in a tomb, all of his disciples turned their back on him. And all the evidence that was there said that the cause was lost. The fight was over. We tried, but it didn't work out for us. But then came the morning. Then came that morning. And that sixth verse where he stopped off right there. That sixth book, verse in the book of Mark, verse six, chapter 16. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. You can lose a lot of battles and still win the war. Scripture says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I suspect there's a group in here this morning that's lost a lot of battles. Friend, the war is not lost if you know the Lord. The war is not lost if you know the Lord in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. Are you saved this morning? You born again? He's for you. He's for you. And even though you failed and fallen many, many times, he's still for you. You can lose a whole bunch of battles and still win the war. Maybe some of you sitting here this morning that have never got into the right war or the right way. Some of you sitting here this morning is still lost. You never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never committed your life lock, stock, and barrel to him. You've never been forgiven. You've never repented. Fallen on him for the mercy that only he can provide. And I say to you this morning, you're losing battles and you're in danger of losing the war. Without him, it's all is lost. Without the Lord, all is lost. Don't let that be the last word for you today. Don't let that be the last word for you. Don't let it be. That can be changed, and it can be changed here this morning. Last Sunday, evil walked into the middle of a group of believers and unleashed hell. At first, nationally, Sutherland Springs was put on the map for all the wrong reasons. Looked for all intents and purposes that God wasn't there. To those looking from the outside in, it looked like he wasn't there. Fear kind of rippled through a community. Still repercussions going on this week. Uncertainty, fear, doubts, all kinds of things taking place in communities as it spread in concentric circles from the epicenter of the event. But now, a week later, we see that not just Sutherland Springs and that community there, but we see assemblies like this one that are filled with faith, filled with hope. And I'm not talking about just a hope things turn out, hope. I'm talking about communities of faith that trust in the Word of God, that God has promised certain things and He will complete them. I see assemblies and communities standing on the promises of God. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. You can lose a battle every now and then and still win the war. You see, morning follows night. Morning follows night. It was a long, dark night, the night that they laid Jesus in the tomb. But on the third day, as the sun broke, the tomb was found empty. boy, for all intents and purposes, it looks like you can lose a lot of battles, but you can still win the war.